Thank you for blessing us so richly already in this service, whether it's been the music, the sharing. God is truly great. Some of you have been asking questions about that trip to Mexico that we're planning on taking. Let me just answer a couple of questions. We would like to take up to 5 couples with us as we go. Some of us are driving, some are flying. And so what we're hoping to do is arrive in Awasi's Thursday before Good Friday in the afternoon, and then we would be there for that weekend until the next Sunday, and we would people would be ready to fly back or do whatever they would like to do on March 31st. And so those are some of the details. The closest airport to Awasi's is El Paso. And the work that we will be doing, we will be working in the education wing, framing Sunday school rooms, pastor's office. There'll be wiring, gyproc-ing, painting, and as well as they are beginning a new school building. I'm not sure where that stage of that construction is. So there will be that physical work. And then we will also be looking forward to doing some services. And so you will be given opportunity, if you are musical or if you have a testimony to share. We would like commitments by the end of January, and then we'd like to see what kind of ministry we can do there. And it needs to be in the Low German or Spanish language, so one of those two. Yes, and talk to us if you have any questions that you would like us to talk about that you have. Romans chapter 8. You know, the last couple of Sundays we have been speaking on prayer. And the first Sunday we talked about do we know who we are praying to? So that when we pray, what do we expect will happen with our prayers? And then we realized that we were praying to the Almighty God. And as such, that we can have incredible expectations from the one whom we are praying to. Last week we said if we know whom we are praying to, then we know that there can be joy in difficult times. And then we ended last Sunday with a few verses out of Job. But there are times in our lives when we go through periods of darkness, when we go through times where it seems that we would say with Job, he's not there. I can't find him. I don't see him. I catch no glimpse of him even. So what happens when we're going through dark times? When all around it is dark, and we finish those verses, and we say, and it says that, but he knows the way that I take. How do we know that he knows? When everything around us seems to say otherwise. What can help us through the blackness of such a night? In Romans chapter 8, in verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. What can help us through the darkness of night? Knowing that we have someone who is interceding for us. Someone who is interceding for us. And interceding in a way, it says the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. There is depth there. There's a depth of emotion. There's a depth of connection that comes from the very soul of man. You know, folks, dark nights are a reality. If you haven't had dark nights yet, rest assured they will come. And when we talk about dark nights, we talk about nights where there are no street lights. Nights where, as far as you look, there's nothing except the stars in heaven. That's a dark night. You can't see the hand in front of your face. You can't definitely not see where you are going to walk. When these are the times that we go through, then we feel like the psalmist did in Psalm 6. We're going to look at some of the psalms, Psalm 6 and then also Psalm 77, and then we're going to come back to Romans, so don't lose your spot in Romans. But when the nights get so dark and we feel such a sense of hopelessness, we can understand and we can feel with the psalmist when he says, I am worn out from groaning. Interesting that that word groaning is the same word that we have in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit interceding with us with groans, right? And he says, I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, and they fail because of all my foes. Foes. Oh, we may not have physical foes that we're in battle with, but we have foes. We have the things in our lives that are the enemy, seeking to overwhelm us, seeking to overtake us. And so we identify. Turn over, if you would, to Psalm 77. When the nights are a reality, we're not the only ones going through the nights. We're not the only ones who feel that it is black. Note some of the words in Psalm 77. We start reading at verse 1. He says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. When our life is in emotional turmoil, the days and the nights just seem to run one into the other. It seems like the sleep eludes us. It seems like it's these untiring hands. Day after day, we stretch them out. We refuse. We do not get comfort. We cry out and we cry out. That word crying out is not your saying grace at the table or taking 1 minute or even 5 minutes to speak to God and bring your needs before Him. Crying out is venting the emotions that are inside of you, getting that turmoil and expressing that turmoil to God. Remember last Sunday when we talked in Philippians chapter 4 and where it says that we are not to be anxious for anything, but in everything to bring our requests and our petitions to God in prayer. And it says that then the peace of God will guard our heart and our mind. And we said that when that peace is not there, the heart, the emotions, they spiral, they keep going. The mind races and keeps working over the same thing over and over and over again. And he's talking about that here. The lack of sleep keeping us from that. And he continues and he says, I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. When we remember the good times, we think back, and we realize it wasn't always like this. But that in itself can sometimes make us feel like we're never going to get out of this. That can make us feel hopeless. He says that. He says, I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired. And what did we feel? Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion? These are the questions that come at night. These are the questions that come day after day, night after night, when we don't find the answers and we feel that our prayers are not being answered. These are our feelings. These are our emotions. These are our thoughts. But He does an interesting twist here. And that when the peace of God guards our hearts and our minds, when we begin to choose what we will do with our emotions, with our thoughts, with our minds. Choice, or we are given a choice in accepting God's word or not accepting it. You see, we say that God's word is truth. We say that these are the promises of God to us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that everything that's written in here, that you can claim it? And that even though your heart and your mind will say, well, that's not true, will you choose to say, but if God says it, it must be true, even if I don't feel it, even if I don't experience it in my own life? It is not God who is the one who is unable to answer, to meet our prayer. And He says that here. He says, then I thought. And I want you, if you have your Bible and if you write in your Bible, underline the I wills. Because I will is a choice. I will is a decision to do something. He says this. He says, I thought, and I said, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Do you see what's beginning to happen? When we begin to take our eyes off ourselves and the problems we are in, slowly, we first of all begin by choice to see what God has done in the past. I will appeal. I will remember. I will remember the miracles. I will meditate on not my problems, not the situations around me, but I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. I will. I will choose to do something. And then what happens? As our eyes go away from ourselves and turn towards our God, then we begin to speak. Then we begin to acknowledge. Then we begin to formulate words and thoughts. And where do they go? He says, your ways, O God, are holy. Again, underline the your, the you. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? There is no one like Him. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. It begins in the darkness of night. That we begin to say, I will go somewhere with my thoughts. I will go somewhere with my feelings where I will find stability. Where is that? In His Word. It's the only thing in this world that does not change. It's the only thing that you can depend upon when everything around you is falling apart. Your health, your marriage, your job. All the things that you hold so dear, they seem to be falling, coming apart at the seams. Where will you go? There is only one place, and that is God. There's only one place that you will find a rock that will not move. You will find someone who understands you perfectly. But you will need to think, to feel Him. What happens when it seems like I can't do this? When it seems like I want to will, I want to remember. And I might do that for just a short space of time, but then all the other emotions come back, my circumstances. That's where Romans 8 comes in. We have an intercessor. We have an intercessor. An intercessor. This passage of Scripture is in Romans chapter 8. As we look at this, we realize if you back up a little bit in this passage of Scripture, you will find Paul the Apostle telling us about what is part of our relationship with Jesus Christ. What happens when we give our life to Jesus Christ? And if you back up to verse 15 and 16, you will see that he talks about a spirit again, about the Holy Spirit. And he says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him, that Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Greek word for daddy. The Greek word of a father-child relationship. A child coming to a father that they totally, totally trust and just love. We cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So He says to us, you're adopted as God's children. God, this Almighty God, is your Heavenly Father. And now the next verses, He begins to talk about suffering. He begins to talk about trouble. And the word groaning or groan will appear in that passage a few times again as we groan in this world. A world that is still in the whole tangled mess of sin and under the rule of the evil one. And we groan. And all of creation groans. And in the middle of that, verse 23, he says, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, to be free from this world and its sin. For in this hope we were saved. If you do not lose hope, the night does not become as dark. It is when you lose hope, that's when it becomes the darkest, and it seems like dawn will never come. He says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. But who hopes for what he already has? If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. And then that's where he says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us. The Spirit helps us. That word help is the idea that Solomon Ecclesiastes talks about when he says two are better than one. It is the idea of doing something together because one alone cannot do it. It is the idea of two grabbing something and lifting it. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Those things, weaknesses, we could have all kinds of things in there. Really everything that is in our human experience. Words may fail us. We do not know how to express our thoughts and our feelings to God. And sometimes we will express them and we wonder, why is nothing happening? Did I say it wrong? Should I be praying differently? It says that the Holy Spirit Himself, this Holy Spirit that testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, He intercedes for us. Popular thing that many of you probably have in your vehicles or in your campers is an inverter, right? You plug it into 12 volts and out comes 110. And I don't know, you probably know better, some of you, how large you could go like that. But an inverter, we take our little human prayers said in our imperfect language and we invert them, we plug them into the Holy Spirit. And wow, before God, they are powerful. He intercedes for us. He takes our prayers and He brings them before the Father's throne. He Himself is the one who intercedes for us. You know, in Hebrews chapter 7 and 25, it says that therefore He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them. This is Jesus. Stephen, when he was being stoned, heaven was open and he was able to look into heaven. And what did he see? He saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. It says that when in Philippians and in Ephesians, a lot of Paul's epistles, that when Jesus had finished His work of salvation and rose from the dead, He went to the right hand of the Father. He sat down at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. You have an inverter. You have someone who is pleading your case, who is helping your prayer before the Father in such a way that groans, with such groans that words cannot express it. Do you feel alone? Do you feel lost? He is the one who intercedes on your behalf. Says that He searches our hearts. He goes beyond our words and He searches our hearts and He takes what He finds there and He brings it before the Father. And it says that He intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Wow! You can yield to it. You can rest in it. Don't be afraid of allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede on your behalf, to be able to take your night and to turn it to day. Are you in the darkness of night? Today, this morning, I really appreciated your words, Bill, this morning when you said, is your heart singing? This is the place. And you hit it right on when you said, if your heart isn't singing, this is also the place. You see, worship comes in our joyful singing. But there can be worship in the darkness of night. there can be worship that may not have the joyful exuberance, but there can be worship because you choose to worship. You have an intercessor. You have someone who is pleading your case before the Father. You may have the feelings of Job. I can't find him. I don't know where he is. I catch no glimpse of him. Those may be your feelings. But the truth is found again in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. The truth. We can't find him. We can't see him. And you know, you will find those words throughout Scripture over and over and over again. Because we are humans living in a sinful world, in a world where the circumstances around us are beyond our control, and we will run into dark nights. But Psalm 139, there he says, the psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." That is the truth. That is reality. You cannot hide from God. He knows what you're going through. He's already there, waiting to carry you. I like the way he says that even in the darkness of night, your hand will guide me. Your hand will guide me. You will hold me fast. You will, you know what it is like when you walk in the darkness? And then somebody comes along and holds your hand who knows the way. And who even in the darkness walks with confidence. Such is God taking our hand. And to Him, it is like daylight. There is no night with Him. And your night will dawn to a brand new day. Because, you know what? He knows the way that you take. And when He has tested you, when He has allowed these trials to shape you, to make you, to purify you, you will come out like pure gold. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, I am so incredibly glad that You saw fit to give us the Holy Spirit, that when You adopted us as Your sons, when we receive You as our Savior, You give us the Holy Spirit. And thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your intercession in our prayers. Thank You that when the night is dark, You are there. And that You wait for us to turn to You. You wait for us to choose to believe Your word, to choose to meditate on Your word, to acknowledge who You are, even when all of our feelings, all of our thoughts are crying out against it, but to choose. Thank You that You keep drawing us. Thank You that You never, ever leave us alone. In Jesus' name, amen.